IFM 101.9 megahertz of life.
Let's talk about the law in South Africa. And of course, with Trump saying that the government is confiscating land. Are the government confiscating land? Gabriel Krauss, writer and analyst at the Institute of Race Relations. Good morning. And what would you say in answer to that question?
No, the government has not confiscated land, and there is no property that is currently under an expropriation without compensation.
So the old ladies in Kilani are okay for now?
Well, I mean, for now is the key qualifier. So the U.S. president got his timing wrong, but the bigger idea that a major threat to property rights has been passed through parliament and signed by our president and is now afoot in real terms, in the sense that expropriating authorities are surveying the landscape looking for properties to seize with the new power to do so without compensation. That is a very real risk. Our greatest protection against it is the Constitution itself, which prohibits land confiscation or property confiscation of any sort unless unlawful conduct has taken place. But so it's a little bit more complicated than nothing to worry about. There's a hell of a lot to worry about. On the other hand, it hasn't already kicked off in the sense that anyone's already had their land taken away by the government. Lots of people have had their land taken away by private invaders, and especially the government has had a lot of its land taken away by private invaders.
Okay, so I was speaking to a judge about this, and he explained it as follows. He said, you've got the letter of the law and you've got the spirit of the law. You've got to look at why laws were created and you've got to whatever. And he was saying that a large part of this act has got to do with farm workers who have not been compensated financially. They were compensated in, you know, you can live on the farm if you work here, and I will also give you wine in compensation. What's your thought on that?
It is true that South Africa's labor system in general was racist, white supremacist, and oppressive.
Yes.
In a range of atrocious ways. And going back further, before the union, there were also parts of South Africa that did that. And, you know, there was slavery in the Cape. And certainly there was, after that, and until quite recently, a dorp system, as you've just described. The mechanism for addressing that exists in law. And one of the most damning constitutional court judgments was against the government, against the state, the Hilton Mwelase case, where the court was shown that people for years, and sometimes over a decade, labor tenants who hadn't been properly dealt with, had filed applications for basically having their property rights recognized formally, either where they were or for them to be transferred to places at least as good or even better, where they could settle down and own their own homes. And the government had just sat on those applications for years, losing applications, not knowing where they are, sending them back and forth. And the Constitutional Court said this is so outrageous that we need to appoint a special master in order to basically take over this executive branch of government for a time to process these cases. So, you know, the labor tenant issue is the most stark example of a massive grievance affecting hundreds of thousands, if not more, South Africans, but where the issue was clearly not the Constitution, it was clearly not a lack of, not a compensation issue. The issue was corrupt officials not doing their job.
Yeah. Yeah.
This is not going to help that. No compensation doesn't help that at all. It just makes it worse.
So, all right. So this is the first iteration. Now what comes? Are they going to amend laws?
I think that the next step is going to be the Minister of Public Works, Dean McPherson, promulgating regulations that govern how all expropriations are supposed to occur. He said in his department there'll be no departure from market value or nothing to null. And but other expropriating authorities will have their own ways of going about things. He's got the power to regulate. So, you know, what he should be doing is regulating to say there can be no departure from market value unless you, you know, first file an application with the minister. And these are the kinds of criteria that you need to satisfy. And the basic criteria you should have to satisfy to depart from market value is either direct subsidy to the property under the same owner or unlawful conduct. You know, if someone is selling heroin and or they've got a weapons, illegal weapons factory, then that should certainly be docked off the amount that they're compensated. But other than that, there should be no departure from market value. If McPherson does that, then as long as those regulations are in place, there will be a front line of protection. But his position is tenuous. He was circumvented by the presidency. In 2026, there'll be local government elections. There'll be NHI. 2027, Ramaphosa might not last. There's all kinds of milestones which might see the collapse of the GNU. The next layer of defense, which is the most important, is the constitution itself, which prohibits this kind of stuff, and there needs to be litigation to vindicate the constitution and to strike down the Expropriation Act's provisions that are just inconsistent with our Bill of Rights. IRR Legal, that I run, is one of the civil society groups that will be going to court. Some political parties will be going to court. So there is that line of defense as well. And of course, the third thing to consider is international pressure. I take local pressure for granted. And on the international front, this is how we started. I think the best thing about Trump's tweet, I've criticized the start, but the finish was perfect. Said this needs to be investigated by the US. And that's exactly right. I think that for all South Africa's partners, it's important to really get to the bottom of this issue. There's been a lot of propaganda. There's been a lot of ho-hum. People saying, you know, the expropriation's everywhere. We know that. The issue is not that there's expropriation. The issue is that it's without compensation. People say it's for land reform. We know that. Land reform is great. We need land reform in this country. But they ignore the without compensation below market value thing. So the more investigation, the better. That can build public pressure. We've seen that South Africa's leadership has been sensitive both to domestic and international pressure before and has had its mistakes somewhat ameliorated. The GNU itself, you know, came at the back of an election that triggered a very wobbly market and a lot of international critics sort of saying it's time for the ANC to partner up.
Gabriel,
those are the three lines of defense.
Thank you so much. You know what? I love speaking to smart people because I actually feel smarter for having had this conversation. One of our listeners, Marco, wanting to know about, I mean, people very, very upset about the DA and saying DA sellouts. What are they talking about?
I think the DA's messaging.
Why are they so upset about the DA and this land reform or the Land Expropriation Without Compensation Act?
I think there's two reasons. The one reason is that some people want the DA to leave the GNU as a protest against the president's signing of this act. And I think that is a very reasonable impulse. Clearly, the president has not acted in good faith in signing this. And it's very hard to stay in a marriage with someone who is cheating on you. You know, someone who's lying to you, someone who just doesn't tell you that he's about to sign a law that you've flagged constitutional concerns with. And I think that, on the other hand, the right metaphor for the GNU is not a marriage. It's a sort of convenience dateline. And the DA's best reason to stay in the GNU is to use that ministerial position for the regulatory powers that it has to draw the front line of defense, as I just described.
Yeah.
I think if anyone should leave the GNU and protest, it should be the FF Plus, because they don't have such a role to play. There's nothing they're adding on this issue. If someone wants to step out and protest, it would make sense that it would be them. I don't know why people aren't angry about that, but it's just a thought. The second reason is, and here I'm more critical of the DA, their messaging hasn't been great. I think that, for example, in response to the Trump tweets, I think the clear message would have been this. land is not being confiscated, but the U.S. needs to investigate because the law allows for expropriation without compensation. And unless our constitution saves us from that, this country is going to be ruined. And instead of saying that, you know, there were words to the effect that actually the law doesn't allow, it always insists on fair compensation. And that's not really true, you know. And it's, I think they got a little bit bumbled. I think they're trying to walk the line of saying not everything in the tweet is right. And we don't want South Africans to suffer sanctions. We certainly don't either.
Yeah.
But on the other hand, to say, or high tariffs or whatever. On the other hand, to say, this is a major crisis and we really need to draw a broad front of opposition to the act. And I think that messaging has just been a little bit confused. You know, I think they can fix that in terms of staying in the GNU. People who want them to go, I don't think they're likely to change their minds in the short run, because the what we see coming down the pipeline is a lot more bad news. And the more bad news there is, more, you know, people are going to be disgruntled and saying to themselves, we like the idea of the GNU, we like the idea of working together, but what fruit has it borne?
Gabriel, I'm sorry, but this
problem for that party.
We're going to have to wrap it up. Thank you so much for your time. Thank you for bringing your smarts and for unpacking it in a way that even the five-year-old in my brain can understand. Thank you very, very much. Have a wonderful day. That's Gabriel Cross. He's a writer and analyst at the Institute of Race Relations.